The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It's a new edition of our weekly visit called Need to Know, because that's what we try to give you here on the program. Everything you need to know. And I'm going to have to come clean right away this week, folks. Tip Kiefer with you on Tony Curry Radio. I am coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. I've been goofing off the last couple of days. Well, actually, I do have some business to do out here today, so I'm actually on a semi-official visit, but for the weekend, came in early for a couple days. My sons have great involvement in the sports community here in Las Vegas. My oldest son, as I probably told you here on the podcast before, Case Kiefer, is the sports editor for the Las Vegas Sun newspaper and is very involved in all things sports here. His primary gig is covering the Raiders in the NFL. In fact, I'm coming to you right from his new home, which is in a brand new area of Las Vegas called Inspirada. And it's right basically across the street from the Raiders complex with their practice fields and all of their medical facilities. And it's quite a spectacle to look at and in wonderment as where we've gotten in this day and age in sports. Not only do you have to have the full capacity stadium, but now you have to have a headquarters for all the offices and inner workings of the franchise. So he spends a lot of his time there. But in these big events, like right now, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, the first professional sports franchise to ever inhabit Las Vegas, starting about 6 years ago, the Las Vegas Golden Knights are in the NHL Western Conference, and they took a 2-0 lead in yesterday's win over the Dallas Stars in the playoffs. So my youngest son, Clate, who was out in Las Vegas working for the same newspaper, who's now returned back to Alabama, but is with me on this trip because he is a massive Golden Knights fan, was there for the very first game in the franchise's history, which sadly came just a week after the terrible shootings at the Country Music Festival, not a half mile away from the arena, down on the far end of the strip across from Mandalay Bay. That's where the shooter actually had rented a suite and was just raining fire down on concert goers. Just a horrible tragedy, like so many of these mass shootings in our country have become. But the Golden Knights started about a week later for their very first game. And both my sons were in attendance. I was not here, but the emotional experience and the connection with them, with the city trying to heal and overcome such a horrible incident, with a week later, the absolute, you know, being emphatically excited about pro sports coming to Las Vegas for the first time in their fabulous new arena, T-Mobile. And let me tell you, folks, they put on, this is Las Vegas, so you can't just stage a hockey game. You have to put on a remarkable show, laser lights and music and all kinds of celebrities involved. And they lower from the very highest part of the arena ceiling, gold-clad drummers down for the pregame, like drumline guys, lower them down from the ceiling to the ice surface below. They have the a character dressed like the opponent, have a sword fight before the puck is dropped with the Golden Knight. It's quite a spectacle, let me tell you. Yesterday, Mark Wahlberg had the distinction of being the guy to kick off the game. They have one of those kind of crank things that you spin really hard around and make this this horn blow this siren go off. And so Mark Wahlberg was the celebrity guest yesterday. I mean, it's glitz, it's glamour, it's hockey in Vegas, and it's awesome. The Golden Knights on their way to possibly the Stanley Cup final. And it's been great. We went to both games on Friday night and yesterday afternoon, and it has been a fantastic experience. Spending time with my grandson, King, 2.5 years old, and already the most knowledgeable guy in the room. He is an absolute joy. So I have been, I'm coming clean here with a confession that I'm not as up to date with everything going on as I usually am, because I have basically checked out for about 4 days and have not been really in the mainstream. But I do want to talk about today with that long preface, and thank you for indulging me and kind of giving you a rundown of what I've been up to and where I am. I think the best theme for today's show is to call it this way. You know how when products have been around a long time or whatever, or businesses, and even people, you tend to get rebranded, repackaged, and reintroduced sometimes. I kind of feel like that's what's happened to me on my American ride. I've been wearing the same label for a long, long time. I was raised in an era where you were proud of your country. You were supportive of your military and law enforcement and first responders. You had unquestionable of just absolute gratitude that you could be a citizen from the greatest country in the world that's ever been conceived. This great experiment we call representative government. It's as a kid, I literally remember feelings of, gosh, I'm so lucky. I can't imagine, living somewhere else in Russia or China or, other places that were underdeveloped. This country has been such a privilege throughout my lifetime, and I've believed in all the traditions and time-honored things that make us Americans. I believe in the principles of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all of the different things that give us the liberties and freedom of choices and all the things that we enjoy. But of course, in talking about that, you realize that in recent years, things have begun to evolve. A lot of people said the experiment would not succeed, it would not last. And I think if you've listened to our show very often, what you need to know, and what I frequently try to tell you that you might not know, is just how intricate the whole strategy that we are experiencing as a country to kind of tear down all of those things I just described is happening right before our eyes. And we're I think, a little bit shell-shocked or in denial to step up and try and kind of reverse that trend. Maybe it's starting to happen a little bit, because there's some things that have been in the news in the last couple of days that have given me some hope that maybe we're starting to get to the end of what I consider to be a period of basic insanity. I think there needs to be massive lunacy warrants sworn out by some court somewhere to kind of slow a lot of this stuff down. But back to the rebranding and repackaging of Kip Kiefer, I believe I'm an American patriot. I'm a major believer and admirer of what our forefathers did in the Constitution, creating this admittedly imperfect union, because it's always something to work toward. The fact that the slogan "Make America Great Again" is under attack, to me, says a lot. I think it's unfortunate the "again" word at the end of that. Just "Make America Great," I think, is a much better slogan, and I think that really describes what where I am and what I would like to see and what I would like to contribute to. I want to make America great. I think America has been great, is great, and will be great again. But the "again" part gives people the license to say, we want to go back to the 1800s where slavery was legal and people lived in terrible circumstances and economics were so difficult. And that's not what that movement is about. So let's just drop the again. And what about make America great? That's what I want. I want it to be great for every single solitary American. But unfortunately, because that's what I believe in, I've been labeled and repackaged and reprogrammed here by the people that are pulling the strings. They don't know me personally, but they certainly characterize me as they are doing with every group of citizen. All of us are kind of assigned a different brand now. Remember Joe Biden said during the election, if you're black and thinking about voting for Trump, you ain't black. How insulting is that? Where every single person that may look similar are expected to act in the exact same fashion. And I kind of feel like that's where I am, being being a seasoned American who's been around for a while. Certainly not a new kid on the block, as much as my immaturity would lend you to reach the conclusion. That's probably what I am. But they've wanted to stamp me because I do hold traditional values and do believe in the Constitution and fervently believe for, to the point where I would have not happily done it, but I would have fought and possibly died for the freedom of this country and to ensure the freedoms of all of my fellow citizens and my descendants, my sons, my grandsons, and their relatives that I will not probably be privy to ever seeing. But that principle is something that is worth believing in and worth dying for. And now let me reintroduce myself to what they want you to believe I am today, because I'm talking to you about dissent for the program that they're trying to initiate. Remember, their premise is we believe in truth, not facts. Truth, everybody needs to understand, and I think we've talked about this before on the show, but truth in their definition is a conclusion they've reached to achieve their agenda. That's the truth. And they don't base it on facts. Joe Biden even said, we believe in truth, not facts. They don't have facts. The word truth is defined as the establishment of irrefutable facts. That's not what this whole movement, this woke movement, whatever you want to call it, is based on. It's not based on facts. It's based on reaching a truth of their own, which is not the truth. It's just their own item for an agenda, and it's building the facts, I guess is the word, but not the proper word, building the criteria of supporting different verbiage or slogans or whatever you want to say, revision of history, to make that fit and sell it, basically. And I talked about that with our media show a few weeks ago, that the news media now is no longer in the business of collecting facts. They are a giant marketing firm to try and come up with the supporting data and propaganda to get people to accept their truth. And sadly, stunningly, that tactic has been fairly effective. A lot of times, people right now are, you'll hear them parrot on the street things that they are completely inundated with in terms of constant reminders and repetition. And it's actually working. And to me, that's very, very sad. There's some primary examples. But basically, I keep giving you supporting data. Let me get to the point where I was trying to go. I now am not considered a seasoned white American patriot, constitutional supporter, believer in America's founding principles and traditions. I need to introduce myself to you. I am Kip Kiefer, who, according to these people, because I don't agree with their agenda and the direction they want to take our country, to basically make us a global citizen, to absorb all of the wealth and resources that this country has, because it's the mightiest and most richly abundant financially and resource-wise country on earth. With that group labeling me and people that don't buy in and recognize what exactly is happening, I am now here to introduce myself, because according to them, I am a white supremacist and a domestic terrorist. And that's an interesting role for me, a white supremacist. Let me just start by saying the second word. I don't have a supreme feeling in my DNA, in my bones, anywhere. I don't feel supreme to anyone. I'm just out here trying to make it happen for myself and my family and my friends and all the people who know me. I have no feelings of supremacy over any individual, and never have and never will. I don't look at individuals as some kind of different, you know, color or sexual orientation or nationality or anything, gender, anything you want to, all these subgroups we've been divided up in. I don't have any contempt for any of those people. I want every single solitary American, no matter what they look like, what they believe. If they're Americans, they're my brothers and sisters, and I believe that fervently. We're all in the same privileged group. We're Americans, and we have the opportunities to be whatever we want to be and achieve whatever we'd like to achieve to the best of our abilities. And it's life, folks. It's a roll of the dice. Not everybody gets to the top. Not everybody gets to achieve and make all their dreams come true. But if you have the opportunity to do that and can pursue it, like the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger once said, you get what you need. And that's kind of the way I have operated philosophically. So to suggest that I'm a white supremacist because I disagree with their particular, again, I'll call it lunacy, that everybody is discriminated against and everybody in my position, being an older American, a white American, that I discriminate and am a racist and conduct myself that way, it's not only insulting, it's just blatantly untrue. I mentioned the domestic terrorist thing. That comes in. There's been a lot of controversy in the past week with the FBI. The FBI has been sadly weaponized as an agency now that is not really interested in law enforcement. It is interested in being the policing bureau and the enforcement bureau for this leftist movement that's trying to infiltrate into our society and really start taking away one by one your rights. I mean, take a look at what's happening already. You're paying a ton of money for every product because the lifeblood, literally, of an economy is the ability to provide energy and power to fuel those economies. This movement has created this myth called climate change. And again, if you've listened to the show, I'm not a scientist. I don't have data to analyze. If the climate is evolving and has gotten warmer, which I still have doubts about, but if that's happening, this is a planet that's been here for 4.5 billion years. This planet evolves on its own volition. We have nothing to do with it. Now, people will argue with me, and I'm happy to hear their discussions, and have had discussions with some close friends of mine that have really kind of bought that banana, that the 140 years we've been involved in the Industrial Revolution has changed everything, because we're burning fossil fuels and we're making these giant carbon footprints and we're completely ruining the planet. The real nefarious thing about that is the people that are really wackos in this movement, that we have to endure, believe that the earth would be better off without people. So when you look at things like the pandemic, where we wiped out millions around the globe, and the continued mishandling of all these diseases and different things that can create these horrible illnesses that will kill millions of people, most people would think that any sensible person would say, well, that, you know, nobody would take those risks. Nobody would want to be responsible for that. But there is a strong group of this movement that believes that the earth would be better off if all people were gone. So extinguishing, getting rid of, half the world's population, I don't think a lot of the people that are really maniacally insane that are pulling some of these strings don't believe that everything would be better off that way. So that's pretty disquieting to start with. But to call people who want to raise their children the way that they choose and try to instill them with all of the same things that we were privileged to have in our generations, to call them domestic terrorists because they go to a school board meeting and object that their seven-year-old is being presented sexually explicit material and being talked to about if you're a boy and you want to be a girl, you go and call yourself whatever you want. Even having counselors that can talk to little kids about, chemically and surgically altering their gender. I mean, when I was 7 years old, hell, I can't even imagine having to deal with the things that these little kids are being subjected to. And it's just such a weird, inexplicable direction that we've gone. And anybody with a brain that doesn't stand up to that and say, wait a minute, a second grader doesn't need to be having, sexual orientation classes. It's absolutely ridiculous. I look at my grandson here, he's only 2 and a half, but I mean, when he goes to kindergarten in a couple of years, is that going to start for him? Right now, he's fascinated by everything, but really doesn't, have the depth of knowledge and doesn't need to be introduced to any of these things. It really makes you wonder. And if that doesn't make you question the truth, I don't know what else could. So anyway, I'm labeled a white supremacist and a domestic terrorist, and I could not be further from either one of those things. And let me just say this. I have lifelong friends. I have a pretty large extended family, including, my own direct folks. I have been privileged to not only have the four same best friends I've had since eighth grade, but all of the people basically that I had the great experience of moving to Atlanta in the mid 60s. And it was just a tremendous melting pot of people from all over the country. I have hundreds and hundreds of friends still from that era that I've maintained those relationships with all these years. I've been privileged enough to work in a number of different businesses, whether it be racing or regulation or broadcasting. I've got tremendous friends. I am so wealthy in that term of literally having nearly, I would estimate, 1,500 to 2,000 close friends. And I can tell you that none of them, zero of them, no one I know is a white supremacist or a domestic terrorist. That it's so insulting and so just, I don't know, it's maddening. It's almost laughable, but that is not who America is, because I know a very significant cross section. And of course, 2,000 out of 30 or 300 million or whatever we've got, 30 million, it's 330 million. That's why those numbers were sticking in my head. I know that's not like saying I know a lot of, a big percentage of the country, but still, I can just tell you and I've been all around this country and been privileged to live a lot of different places. The America they're trying to paint is not existent. That is not America. America is still a generous, welcoming, supportive country. And it is not a situation where people that believe in America and its traditions are the enemy. So if you hear that, I can tell you right off the bat, if that's one of their truths, and it certainly seems to be what they're propagating, you can immediately call to question everything they're saying to you, because that is not the truth. That is an absolute lie. This is a great country. It still has great people, and the citizens' hearts are still in the right places and always have been. Have we had blemishes? Yes. Have we had some things in our history we wish we could change? Of course we have. But every civilization in the history of mankind has evolved and had ups and downs and had things that were fabulous and things that were disappointing. I wish we could live for today. One of my favorite old grassroots song, great band from the 60s. Let's live for today, turn the page, be the best we can be as charitable and giving as we can possibly be, to a point where we're not bankrupting ourselves, letting in millions of people that are being lured here with promises that you're going to get a free lunch in America. Well, that's not really what we're built on. If people want to come here and roll up their sleeves and get to work and build something for themselves, I can't be opposed to that, because that's what my descendants did. But on the other hand, if we're flying people in from all over the world to try and create a brand new generation of inhabitants in our country that don't expect to work for a living and make the sacrifices for their own lives and their families and build something, because that's what this country is. It's about building things. It's not about tearing things down. And we have got to get back to that philosophy for us to all flourish. And believe me, once again, I want every American to be able to make their choices, have the freedom and liberty, have the educational opportunities, have the chance for achievement of their dreams and great success, which with which comes financial well-being. And there's nothing like family and friends. That's what life's all about. That's what life in America is supposed to be all about. So that's the message today on Need to Know. We need to build again and stop tearing down what we have, because what we have is pretty damn good. Hey, don't miss tomorrow. We're going to record a brand new Kiefer and Curry, kind of on this theme. It's my week to select a topic, and I hope I didn't baffle Tony with my choice, but I just have a great feeling to want to talk about how our country comes from a foundation of underdogs doing amazing things. And I'm hoping that this is the dawning of the age, not of Aquarius, but of the return of the underdog. I want to see people start to succeed in all walks of life. I've been inspired by a couple of recent sports stories, watching teams that seemingly have no chance advance in their respective competitions. And I love the fact that this country is an underdog achievement story. And so there's no telling what direction we're going to go tomorrow, but that's kind of the case every week on Kiefer and Curry, our show here on the Tony Curry Radio Network. It's great working with Tony on that show, and we're looking forward to bringing you another edition. So look for that this week. As always, thank you all for tuning in. I know we kind of covered a lot of territory here, but again, give me a little break this week, because I'm on a little bit different mindset. Out here enjoying the great western part of the United States and being in one of the most exciting cities in the world, which I'm so excited that both my sons are a part of. We will talk to you again next week. In the meantime, be optimistic. Get out there and start building something, everybody. That's the key to success, for America to be great. And that's what we're looking for. Make America great. That's not a political slogan. That's the reality we all need to embrace. Have a great week, everyone.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.